Hello, this is Luann Bird. In this episode, we will be talking about prejudice, depression, suicide, and the gift of being gay. If you or someone you know is struggling, help is available. Dial 988 for the 24/7 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. Again, that's 988, and thank you for listening. Welcome to Bird on a Wire, live on tour. I'm Luann Bird, your host for this podcast, along with Civic Media, who is hosting this on their websites and on their social media. So thank you to all the folks at Civic Media who are making this possible. The purpose of these podcasts are to inspire you, the audience, to hopefully have some new ideas, new ways that you could take action. It's hope, civility, and action that it spurs the kind of change that we want to see in our society. And it's why I personally am doing this. And when I got the call to run last year, that was why. I said, that's it. The political system is broken. We're not listening to each other. We're not talking to each other. So we need to bring civility back, and we need to have hope that we can change things. And that spurs action, because if there's hope, that means there's work to do. So today, I'm very happy and thankful that I'm here with Will Radler in his beautiful Rosarium garden. The way I met Will was I knocked on your door last year.
As she did with most
of us. As I did with a lot of people. And then I knocked on his door and I introduced myself and I told you why I was running. And within 30 minutes, not only did he say he would vote for me, but then we scheduled a beautiful event right here in your Rosarium to have a Bird Songs concert, right? That's how we got started.
Right. Yeah. Right. You were telling me what I wanted to hear.
What do you remember from that?
What do I remember from that? I was kind of blown out of the water that I had someone running for office that was telling me words that I had not heard before. The words civility. Civility in politics, I had not heard that before. I heard issues, and issues in themselves, to me, it does not make sense, because it's the whole picture that makes sense. It's how we live with each other, how it makes sense, how we get along to get each other, how we make life better for each other, how we love each other.
So that's how I look at life too, and I think that's why we've become such good friends. I really feel that my experience even is with creating change, that it's through building relationships with each other and listening to each other. And as I knocked on doors, that became more obvious to me that that's what people wanted. It's not about tearing down another person, but it's about giving people hope. So one thing that I learned about you, Will. So Will, I'm going to let you talk about yourself here in a minute, but I want to open this up with one thing that we now have in common. Will got news. Well, we want to talk tonight about what life is like as a gay man. And Will is LGBTQ+ proud and has known that for almost all of your life, right?
Right.
Since you were a little boy.
Right.
And so we were going to talk about that tonight to begin with, and more about his life and journey with that. Also, though, he got a phone call a phone call this weekend. And we wanted to talk about diversity. We wanted to talk about inclusion. We wanted to talk about mental health issues and depression. We wanted to talk about all of that tonight. because Will has a story about all of that, and even about suicide. And Will started, or called me today, wasn't sure we could do this, because he got a call that his nephew had taken his life with a gun this past weekend. He was only 16 years old, and he lived in Germantown, and he's named after Will, right? So tonight we're going to dedicate this podcast to Willie and to all of those who might be struggling, right?
Right.
So thank you, Will, for being able to still do this. We both have experienced this kind of loss. Mine was in May. So we shared a lot today about what that's like to go through that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's funny to talk. That you don't want to get. You don't know how to react to. You don't know how to deal with. That you can't change. You can't turn around. You can't make it better. It's final. And at first, my reaction was numb. I didn't think it was happening. I could talk about it. I could reassure my niece that called me that my grandnephew was in a better place. He was out of pain. That his shooting himself was hard for us. But we could deal with pain. And I was talking about it much better than I'm talking about it now. And she got some calls that she had to take. And a little while later, I got a call from my sister, and I could reassure her. And I went back to watching my movie that evening, my fantasy of way of getting away from all the problems of the world. And I took my sleeping pill, got up in the morning, and a couple hours later, the impact
really hit.
Yes.
The impact really hit a couple hours later.
I was able to not feel it that long, and off and on, I'm able to be fine. Everyone here has seen me. I've been able to be okay. Once. I helped console people. my relatives yesterday. I helped put food on the table. I helped rip up the carpet. Bloody carpet, pulled the floor up, the flooring that had blood on. We had to dispose of that. I could do that. And then I got blood on my hand. What do you do?
Yeah. So,
here's a kid that,
tell us about
it. He's 16 years old. He was dealing with juvenile diabetes. He was being bullied at school. He was having trouble dealing with his sexuality. I was being told what he was dealing with, and I care not to talk about that now because I don't know how much of it's fact. But I do know that he was going one way and then another, not knowing which way was him. And I know how that goes, because I went through that. When you're trying to please other people and you put your own feelings aside in an effort to try to please everyone, and you think by that effort you're going to please yourself, and in so doing it, you go into a state of deep depression, which I did. And thanks to modern medicine and therapists, I'm here today. And I was able to deal with my own demons, as it's been put in words, and I've been a valued member of the community, and not everybody has been able to have the assets that I've been able to have. And one of the reasons that I'm telling my stories, I think it's so important that those assets be made easily available to everybody in the community.
Need some of those assets? Like what? What do we need?
Mental health. Easy access to mental health. The suicide rate of kids in high school. It's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrible. And the games that we're playing on, that we can't talk about things like LGBT issues when the suicide rate among those people is so high. It's not something that we wish. It's not something we choose. It's something who we are. And it isn't hurting anyone. And I think along with those, and I'll call it a gift, along with that gift of being able to choose that lot in life comes things, acids to the world that wouldn't be there. I think it's a genetic link to many, all of these artists, these creative people in the world, so many of them are gay. I think there's a link there. I think it's to chastise those people. I think it's a sin. I was raised Catholic. It was so hard. I wanted to please my parents and be a good Catholic. And all the while, I knew that who I was, the church despised. And many other religions despised as well. And I couldn't make sense out of it because I knew I wasn't a bad person. And I knew that what my longings were for wasn't going to hurt anything, anybody, anything.
Your longings for?
For another man.
Love?
Yeah.
Relationship with another man.
And when I found this woman that I loved, and she loved me, and I thought we could possibly work. And I injured her because I couldn't make it work.
But you
tried.
You married her, right? He married her to try to please everybody. Okay, and this is when you were really young, right?
I was in my late 20s.
Okay, he was young. And he, you loved her, though.
Yes.
And she was a great person, and you were a great person.
Yes.
And you married her. But on your wedding night, right?
My wedding night, I realized I made a mistake.
Because there was someone else in your life, right?
There was someone in my life that I...
that you loved, too.
And I was fighting that.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to please other people instead of myself. And so I said to myself that you made your choice and I had. So 6 months into it, I didn't know. I wasn't brave enough to find the gun. And I didn't know what medications could kill me, so I took a full bottle of aspirin one day. Didn't kill me. made me feel weird for about 3 days.
Did anyone know you did that?
No.
You never told anyone?
Years after. I thought about other ways I probably could do it because I didn't know how to get out of it, and then I finally said, "This is ridiculous."
And what did you do?
I went back to
Donald.
Yeah, and I said, "I made a mistake, and I'd really like to get back to you." And he said, "You made your choice. I'm sorry." And
so
I went back to Pam and well, eventually, Pam and I just divorced. Mm-hmm. And I got back to Don. And 20 years later, we made it work until the car hit us and he was killed.
Nothing. So you didn't get to say goodbye. It was just like that. How did your family ever, did they ever come around to accepting Donald? And you, I know there's more to your story. What did your family do to try to?
10 years after getting back to Donald, when there were family get-togethers, he wasn't asked to join. And after 10 years, my birthday was coming up and it was a month away. And I called my folks and I said, "I'm sorry, my birthday is coming up, and I know you always have me over for my birthday." But, and I said, "If Donald's not invited, I won't be coming." And they said, "How can you do this to us?" And I said, "I'm sorry. I'm not doing this to you. You're doing this to me." And the words that happened after that, I don't remember. And I said, "I'm sorry, I have to hang up the phone." And a week or two later, I got a call back. And it was my mother. And she said, "I'd like to have you and Donald come over for your birthday." And Donald didn't want to. And we had a big fight, and I said, "You have to." And so he came. But I don't believe he came to any other family events. And when he was killed in England, my mother, on the telephone, he was, we're on vacation, and he was killed in England, or in England, and on the telephone, the first call my mother could call me, she said, "I felt like I had lost. another son.
Oh my gosh. That's sad, but beautiful too, right?
Yeah. But it's so sad.
Yeah.
All those wasted years. And the reason why I want to tell this is because of there's no need. There's no need for all this suffering.
Expand on that. What is it that we can do? There's no need for this, but it's there. Okay, so this is what you went through as a child and as a young adult growing up. And now, you know, you look at Will and Willie and what happened to him. You know, right now, we're seeing school districts forcing teachers to take safe classroom stickers off their doors. We're seeing a lot of pushback against transgender. We're seeing teachers being told they can't talk about this with their kids. How do you feel about all of that right now?
Willie could only find relief by taking drugs.
And that's what he turned to.
That's right.
You know the pain he was in, don't you? You've been there.
Yes. I don't know exactly the pain that he was in, but I have an idea. It shouldn't happen. It's so unnecessary. And in the school is there to educate. And
everyone.
It's supposed to be a safe place.
And it's not. We're not there. So there's more to your story. After you lost Donald, you did eventually meet someone else, right?
Yes.
Tell us about your third relationship, I guess.
I had two relationships after Donald, and they didn't last. And through the process, and through my employees, actually, I thought I was fine. I was dealing with everything. And it was my employees that finally said, "Will, you need help." I was abusive to my employees. When they did something wrong, I made mountains out of molehills. You're in a beautiful place right now, but some bad things happened here under my supervision because partially the way I was raised. I didn't know better. And I had some a little bit of bipolar. My employees, two of them came up to me and said, "Bill, we think you need help, and we're willing to do anything. To help you. And they went with me. During one of the sessions, I had an anxiety attack as we were talking about the problems that occur here. And the psychiatrist asked the two employees to leave the room, and she diagnosed me tentatively, and some tests were performed, and I had a number of things that were making it a little difficult for me to deal with problems. So now I'm on medication, and it's much easier for me to deal with problems.
How old were you when that was going on?
In my 70s. So
it's never too late to get help.
It's never too late to get help.
Never too late.
And I've been having, even when Donald was alive, I was having therapy because I knew something was wrong. I had so many things going right in my life, and I wasn't happy. And at least I was smart enough to realize that I had finally found a partner and there was something wrong. I wasn't happy, and so I sought out a therapist and that went on for a long time, and I thought that I was okay, and therapist said I should go on with therapy as long as I felt I needed, and finally I said, well, I think I've used up your time long enough. And she said, well, if you think that you need me again, remember I'm here. And if ever you think you need to commit yourself, here's how you do it. And if ever you think that you're in the pit of depression like you were at times, as you were going through therapy, don't be afraid to call me at any hour of the day or night. And so that happened. And I committed myself. This was before the diagnosis with bipolar. So I've been on a journey through my life, and luckily I could afford. I had a wonderful healthcare package with Milwaukee County as director of the Berner Botanical Gardens. Not everybody has that. But I feel everybody should look at here in Milwaukee County, the crime rate, people shooting themselves. They're not doing that because they're happy. And I'm not doing that because they're well adjusted. They need help. We all need help when things go wrong like that. When we feel that we need a gun to protect ourselves because that's the only way. Mental health.
Yeah. Yeah. So wait a minute. What's the relationship between that? The thinking about I need a gun to protect myself, and yet if you have mental health, it's the very thing you can use. Right?
Right.
So what do we do about that? I say take the gun away. And then you can treat the mental health side. Because what you do when you take the gun away is at least you keep Willie and my nephew Derek alive. It just seems so simple to me. So if we can do that and make sure there's the mental health resources out there. I can't believe we're having this conversation again. I just had this in my first podcast.
Willie couldn't get an appointment. His appointment was weeks away.
Oh.
His folks were trying desperately in the mental health system. I know how difficult it was for me. My tremor was so out of control. On top of all this, I was having difficulty getting food to my mouth. I didn't want to go out and eat with friends. That has an impact. There's so many things that are attributable to mental health. And the quality of life.
So for those of you who are listening and aren't here with us, thank you to those who came tonight. You are awesome. And thank you to those who are listening. We're sitting in this beautiful rosarium. It's a rose garden. Will, somewhere through this tragic and challenging and yet full of love life that you've had, you have built something here. So how did this rose thing ever come into play in your life?
I think with all my problems, I was able to find my happiness by delving into what brought me happiness. And that was reading, tinkering. On my business card, I have Chief Tinkerer. That's where I found happiness. And that happiness brought me where I am here today. I never expected that finding my own happiness was going to bring so much happiness to other people. So many people say, oh, I love the roses that you have created. This garden that I've created because of the money that comes in from the roses that I create. They love the garden. I love having them come to my garden. I wouldn't love having this garden if there weren't people here to enjoy the garden.
So to put in a little plug, if you check out Will Radler's Rosarium website, you can find those times when it's open. But I don't doubt that if somebody really needs a uplift, they could stop by you anytime, right?
Right.
You would take them around these gardens just like you do me from time to time because we've become friends.
That's right.
And it looks different at different times of years. It brings beauty all year long here. So that would be great. I want to, so when you talk about bringing happiness and joy to everybody, I mean, really, you created the knockout roses and now they're like a worldwide thing, right?
Right.
And every knockout rose can be brought, you know, comes back to you creating that. How did you create a knockout rose?
When I was in my teens, I planted my first rose bush at age 9.
9 years
because
old.
I paged through my grandfather's Jackson Perkins rose catalog as a kid. I couldn't wait to have my first rose bush. It was 49 cents. I bought it in as a packaged rose in a cart in an A&P store. My parents said, "You're wasting your allowance." I had 2 quarters in my pocket. They always complained I didn't save my money like my brother Tom did. I'll never make anything of myself. So the rose thrived, and my mother started bragging about her son who could grow roses. I started finding people like me. They were older, though, and they were starting to cut back on their hobby because they were senior citizens, and they were cutting back because it entailed too much work. And I told myself as a teenager I was going to bring less work into the hobby of growing roses. And when I first had my first piece of property, that's what I started doing, is breeding roses with goal of.
What year was that?
74.
Wow. Wow. And so you made it so that the roses, how do you make it easier? What do your roses do that make it easier? I know you don't have to trim them and they keep flowering. Is that one thing?
They're resistant to the common rose diseases that are prevalent. By themselves keep a nice mounded shape. You don't have to trim them back to have repeat bloom. The stems are nice and strong by themselves. The blooms are long lasting. Therefore, you have more color on the plant. It cycles faster than traditional roses at the time. A lot of this stuff, I was very lucky to produce because I was just trying to develop a few goals, and there was a power higher than me. And I think some of you may have heard that expression, and you know where that came from. Al-Anon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been there. Somebody was looking out for me.
So you talked about assets. Everyone has assets. And being gay brings with it assets. And it's a gift, you called it.
Yes.
Right? And we all have a gift, whoever we are.
Yes,
gay or not.
True.
Trans or not. We all are here. We're a gift. We're a gift. So I want to... You should.
Willie had gifts.
Oh, my gosh. And Derek had gifts. My nephew, he was a drummer. There's a creative... That's worth talking more about at some point. Yeah. So you told me a story today. This podcast is about what can we do? And by sharing your story, what would you like our audience... First, before we finalize that, what you told me the story today of what you did for mental health in the gay community. And so that was another way that you reached out to bring happiness. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, I was at it was a celebration for a fundraising event, and It was for the AIDS Resource Center of Wisconsin, and they had gotten a sizable check to pay for mental health for AIDS patients that came to the center. And it would pay for so many hours of mental health. And when I heard about it, my reaction was, oh my God, for the state of Wisconsin, this was so many hours. I was in shock. And after the celebration was over, I went up to the officers in charge of the AIDS Resource Center, and I said, did I hear correctly that this is the amount of hours that physicians are going to be available to help patients that come to the center? And they said, yes, and this is a breakthrough. And I said, that can't nearly be enough. And they said, yes, but it's the first step. I said, well, don't you mean to make some kind of announcement that more is needed? And they said, well, we need somebody to make that step. And I said, well, how do you do that? And they said, well, could you be that person? And I was in shock, and because I didn't think I could be. I didn't think I had that money. I hadn't put that money in the garden yet. It was just the beginning of making the changes in the garden and the house. And I said, well, I can think about it. And we had a meeting, and they proposed a 3-year funding for a project, and it was $1 million. And they asked me if I could do that. And I said yes. I didn't really know if I could, but I knew something had
to. So, for you, Will did it, and we are so grateful for you, Will.
And from that funding, they told me, others have stepped up since. Others have stepped up since. So,
started it. It's a powerful story. It's good for our listeners to hear that. Well, we were talking today about he has those kind of resources, and I have time, and I can give back my time right now to help people.
Right.
And so whatever it is that you've got, if you're feeling down and hopeless, if you're feeling depressed,
right?
You make that call, because you matter, whoever you are that might be listening to this. You matter.
Right.
And we'll help you get through that, right? Someone will help.
Right.
There's crisis lines, and there's that kind of thing out there. So I just want to thank you, Will. We're over on our time by a little bit, but I think they'll be able to help us with the editing part. Should we take a few questions from the audience?
Sure.
Anyone have any questions or? Yeah, Kathy.
I have a comment. One of our problems with mental health right now and Willie not being able to see a therapist is that we don't have enough. There's a shortage
Correct.
Of therapists. And back in 1970, I had an ex-husband who went through social work school, who was paid, it was to become a therapist, social worker. It was paid for by the federal government. All that funding has been withdrawn. And if you want to become a therapist, it means you must go through an education, at least a master's degree, and go into debt. What we have to do on a policy level is do what we did during the Great Society, which is fund more social workers, more therapists.
I agree.
There are plenty of people who want to do this work because it's very noble work, but on a policy level, it's something that's worth pushing, at least as far as I think.
And it's popular. There's research that shows how popular it is. I applaud. It's not easy to talk about suicide. It certainly wasn't when my nephew took his life in May. The message, though, we should share, right, Will, is that it's not the family's fault.
In fact, they tried so hard, so desperately.
They did, didn't they? And they even did an intervention.
Yes.
With Willie to try to save his life.
Yes.
So there's more that we have to do. We can do better. We can do better. We can build those relationships with our legislators. We can reach out to them. We can show up at the, we can call the town hall hotline. I mean, call into that show and talk about your story. Because I'm finding, as I share mine and Will shares his, a lot of people have been through this. It's not uncommon. We've all been touched by suicide or gun violence or bullying. You have a little thing here. This might be a good way to end this message. He's got a message here that you want to maybe share with our listeners.
Yeah, it's not okay to bully. It's not okay to show disrespect. It's not okay to have easy accessibility to drugs and guns. But it is more than okay to be gay and be a valued member of the community.
Well, thank you very much, Will. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Thank you to our listeners.
We hope you enjoyed listening to Bird on a Wire on Civic Media and that you're inspired to take action on issues you care about. For more episodes, visit us at civicmedia.us. I'm Lou Ann Bird. Thanks for listening.